Because, like, I used to save my lunch money from that my grandpa used to give me. And instead of going to eat lunch, I would go to the store and buy, like, girl clothes or, like, makeup and stuff like that. But one weekend, I go to my uncle's house, I come back, and everything's gone. He's just like, no more. No.
All right, Rhea. Rhea, where are you from originally? Where'd you grow up?
I grew up in East Texas. So about down south, about like 45 minutes away from New Orleans. In a small town, about like 3,000 people. All our schools were like one building. I grew up with a twin brother, fraternal twin. So it was pretty all right.
How would you describe your childhood?
Very interesting. Seeing that I was a twin and my brother was like the all-American athlete and I was the all-American dancer, cheerleader, I watched him get handed everything. So it was just kind of like I don't hate my childhood, but it wasn't like I didn't have a great one because I couldn't be myself.
Did you feel like you were not treated as well as your brother?
Definitely not. Nope. There was times where like he would got to go to the carnival and I had to go to the exorcism and he got to go to his friend's house, but I couldn't go out to his friend to my friend's house
You had to go to the what? Exorcism?
There was a fair in town and he got to stay and my grandma, she came and picked me up and she was just like, come on, we're going to go somewhere. I was like, okay, well, like, is he going to come? She's like, no. We get there and it's like full on people like screaming and like they're like demons coming out and I'm just like over there. I was just like, okay, wow. Yeah, this is
You came
real.
from a religious family?
I did. I come from a very, she was very, my grandmother was very religious. She was Christian and then she was converted Messianic Jew. So, we were homeschooled, so we went to like a Bible study Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and then Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And Friday and Saturday was our Jewish Sabbath, and then Sunday was church. And so it repeated itself. It was all, it was very religious.
Did your family kind of pick up on the fact that you were more feminine than your brother?
So I remember when I was 4 years old, like crying myself to sleep or just like, because, like, we're like night and day. Like, he over there playing football. I'm over here doing cheerleading and gymnastics. So they kind of got it. They just kind of was just like, no, don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. And then when I got older, it was just like, oh, you're believing the lies of the devil. You're believing the lies of the devil. And it was just like, you know what I'm saying? Now that I get older, I'm just like, I have a different perspective of it. I was just like, well, if that's the case, then why would God let a 4-year-old child have these feelings? You know, if I wasn't raped, if I wasn't assaulted. Yes, I grew up in a single, like, a mother home, but my twin brother is not like this, so like why?
You say you were born this way.
Absolutely.
What kind of teenager were you?
I wouldn't say I was troubled. I was very depressed. I kind of, whenever I was 13, that's when I was able to identify the term of what I was, and so I came out, and that's been like, for a minute, they were cool with it. And then, like, I go home, like, one weekend, cause, like, I used to save my lunch money from that my grandpa used to give me. And instead of going to eat lunch, I would go to the store and buy, like, girl clothes or, like, makeup and stuff like that. But one weekend, I go to my uncle's house, I come back, and everything's gone. He's just like, no more. No. But this is after I caught him watching TS porn on the TV. So I was just like, okay. Yeah, it was crazy. But, I mean, as a teenager, it was kind of hard. Like, I mean, I kind of dealt with bullying since a young age because I was so good at cheerleading and in dance, from like the parents, the coaches, the kids. So I was okay with it. But like, there was a point where I went to a school in East Texas called Lindale, and they were very, very preppy. Like, they were very rich kids, right? And so, me being from like a lower class, and then me being, different, it was kind of like. Like, I know that, like, one day I made a YouTube video, and I put it up, and they were, like, they were having the teacher bring it up in class, the kids were. And I was just like, yeah, so it was just, like, kind of, like, I think the biggest part for me was just, like, not being able to be myself, I think, for sure.
And you graduated high school?
I did.
Where did drugs start for you at some point?
Yeah, they started when I was 13. My uncle caught me out, picking up one of his cigarette butts that he had just got to finish smoking, and then he handed me a beer, the weed pipe, and some alcohol. And so we just started from there, and we started hanging out with him and his friends ever since then. So, yeah, it started, like, when I was 13. It didn't really pick up until, like, maybe I was, like, I mean, it was just weed and alcohol until, like, I was, like, 17, 18.
And there was no sexual abuse in your childhood?
No. Just as an adult.
That's good. And so how old are you now?
I'm 29.
29. So you've been on the streets for how long now?
On and off. On and off. Maybe since I was 23. But I've made it out before. I've been to prison 3 times.
What did you go to prison for?
Possession of controlled substance. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, the laws in Texas are harsher than here.
Absolutely. So I did that. And then whenever I lost my eye, I kind of was put up for 2 years. They let me chill until they drug me out here.
What happened with your eye?
So there's a club in Dallas, Texas that I was working at. And what happened was, is I seen how they were like propositioning the girl, like they would talk to the customers before the customers got to the girls. And I'm just like, okay, well, we're not getting paid anything. And I'm just looking around and I'm asking questions. Like, some of the girls have been there for 25 years, 11 years, 8 years in the same spot, have nothing to show for it. Like, what they did was they'd find their stars. And then, like, they'll strip you down from everything. Like, when I first pulled up to the club, we had a charger. We had our own, like, we were able to maintain a room and stuff until, like, they found out that, you know, like, I could make them a lot of money. And so they just, like, they'll strip everything from you and they'll give you just enough to where, like, you have to come back to the club. Like, you can't leave. And once I saw that they were trafficking those girls, I was just like, nah. In Texas, you have to work under somebody. Like, if you're going to escort or hoe or whatever, you have to fall up under somebody, and I didn't fall up under anybody. And when I found that out, they kind of like lured me away from the club because they would do like when they would do their little activities or like certain stuff, they would just do weird stuff to get me to leave the club. So that's exactly what happened.
So you were turning tricks, you just weren't doing it under them,
right? And I was doing it in their establishment. And this is the thing, though, is I could pack the club out. Like, I could walk from maybe that end of the building to this end of the building and pack the club out and won't even make a dime. And that wasn't good enough for them. Down there, there's a price you will pay to work, I believe.
And then what happened to your eye?
So it was one of those times where they pulled some weird stuff and I walked down the street to the gas station to buy a lighter because I asked 2 people at the bus stop if they had one. They said no. So, I mean, they ignored me. So I was just like, I went into the gas station and bought a lighter, came back out. And then the guy that was at the bus stop was sitting on the side of, now there was it's a gas station, it was Quick Trip, and then it's Jack in the Box. He was sitting now on the side of Jack in the Box wanting to spend money. I didn't think nothing of it. So everything goes through, you know what I'm saying? He got like services that weren't even on the menu. And then afterwards, he was just like, give me your money. And so I was just like, I just kept walking, you know what I'm saying? And he hit me. One hit, I was down. Now, at this time, like, I was in a domestic violence relationship. And so I've been hit pretty hard. I don't know what he hit me with. It could have been a gun. It could have been brass knuckles. It could have been anything. But he hit me. He snuck me from this side of me. So he was, like, over here. And he just, one hit, fractured the side of my face. 2 weeks later, I'm in the hospital, unconscious for a week. They told me that staph flu and strep was in my eye and it could spread to my brain, or I have to make a decision to take it out. So I had to make a decision all by myself the day before Thanksgiving to take it out.
So you lost your eye permanently?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. So now you're on Skid Row. How long you been here?
3 months.
3 months.
Mm-hmm.
And do you have a tent or do you have a place to stay?
Keeping a tent is too stressful. Being in a room it's not going to be reason. Like, it doesn't make sense unless you're online. Cause working out here, or I don't know, haven't been to West Hollywood. Cause I've been on Blades, Tracks, Blades, whatever you call them, from Texas to Atlanta to here, but I don't know what I'm doing. Like, I don't know anything. They won't tell me anything. What I did was I messed up and I told them exactly how much my bus ticket was to go home, and they won't let me make nowhere close to that, which is like $250. But
and what is your drug?
What is my drug? Marijuana crystal. Mainly marijuana, because down here they have Fetty, and I was that's a bad one.
Is there fentanyl in the crystal now? Have you OD'd?
Not recently. I had before.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. In Atlanta. I literally watched my friend and my other friend hit the pipe, and they weren't inhaling it, but every time I inhaled it, I lost consciousness. And so, I mean, now here I try to, like, as much as possible, if, like, they're selling fentanyl, like, Fetty, I won't buy the crystal because I'm just, like, they'll mix them. But with me not really even knowing what real, real dope looks like, then it's just, like, I can get anything. And they've been doing it because I've realized, like, here, maybe, like, I was with a friend this weekend and we're smoking and I'm just like, why is it going, you know, like, why is it turning black? Oh, this is, it's two different kind of dopes. Okay. Just not any fun anymore.
How many tricks are you turning a day out here?
Not that many. Believe it or not, the girls are working against me. The guys stand in the way because they want to have sex and I don't want to give it to them. Maybe like, I'll say like average of five.
And how much do you make on a date?
Just being real, just for me, $20.
I'm sorry, darling. That's not
coming
right.
From a girl who's
$20.
$3,000 at least to this, but I was put up before I got here. Like, I was put up before I got here.
I would assume losing your eye has made this emotionally really difficult for you, no?
It's a lot harder. You know, like, one thing people try to throw at me is just, like, my eye. Or one thing that they'll lead with is just, like, what happened to your eye? And it's just, like, how do you tell somebody, oh, I got robbed in a place like this so they can try to rob you again? And so it's just, like, I mean, at first, like, I could make like a little cute story about like how it happened, but now it's just like, yo, like, that's not the first thing you want to ask somebody. It's like, how did this happen? Like, you never know. It could have been something traumatic, which it was. But I think for me, with all the things that I've been through in life, I just keep going. I didn't really have time to process it. And I never thought, like, in a million years, like, this would happen. Like, for someone who's like me, who's trans, and, like, I finally just got comfortable with my face. Because I have really strong features and a strong jawline, but I was just, like, happy with, like, how I looked. And then, out of nowhere, it's just like, man. Yeah. So it's been difficult. It's just kind of hard to walk. Like, if somebody's walking with me, they can't walk on this side of me. Yeah. Or, like, if I'm walking and it's, like, dark or this, like, I'll run into poles and stuff. Because I'm trying to, like, look at the ground and look up and then look around at the same time. It's just, like, it's really hard. It's really hard.
So you've been trans for how long? Since what age?
I knew since I was four. Like, I remember being a four-year-old just crying myself to sleep. God, make me a girl. Make me have long hair. Just make me. But I didn't come out as trans until I was, like, 15.
And are you on hormones or have you had surgeries?
I was on hormones. I've been on hormones before. I haven't had any surgeries yet. But in the process, back when Obama was in office, you know, like I lived in the East Coast. And so like they had resources to where if you went to like a board of psychologists, then they would pay for the top and bottom surgery. Which I'm glad. I mean, the top surgery, yes, I want for sure. Like, breast enlargements, but like the bottom surgery is kind of a tricky one because a lot of the clients that I get tell me that they wouldn't want me if I didn't have it.
And do you have regrets in your life?
Yeah. And dropping out of high school. So I dropped out of high school, but I went to Job Corps and finished and got my high school diploma. But before then, I had a scholarship to Baylor to go cheer. I had a scholarship to TJC, which is like Tyler Junior College, to go do color guard. I was really good. Like on my sophomore year, I ranked third in the nation for color guard. So I just regret like not going to college and dancing.
Yeah, this is probably not the life you wanted when you were younger.
No, and the thing about it was when I first got into it, I didn't know what I was doing. I was in a relationship, and we were living in Philadelphia, but I had got a CNA license in Texas, but it was taking a long time to transfer. So I was just like, maybe come back here, work, send for him, cool. Ended up getting down here. My father, so my dad was locked up 3 hours before my mom took her pregnancy test. For first degree murder. So he'd been locked up for the whole time until I was 21. And so he gets home and they were just like, well, it just made sense to go down there and stay with him. But while I literally saw him for 2 hours when he left me with his family, his dysfunctional family, for like 45 days and I had to still have bills to pay. And so like I just hopped in the water. And so, ended up just like falling for somebody else and just one thing led to another and then bam. Like, I've had to escape several people. I've been raped 12 times. I've been kidnapped 4 times. It's kind of like, I thought I was out, to be honest with you, like, up until I ended up here. Like, I've been out. Like, I haven't been anything. Like, if anything, I've been on the other side of the fence where I could spend a little money on somebody. But it's like they won't let me go. They won't let me go.
Let me ask you one last question, Raya. What would you say is the most important lesson you've learned in your life?
To never go against self. Like, if it's something that you truly will not be okay with, don't do it. Don't do it.
All right. Raya, thank you so much for sharing your story.
Thank you.
I hope you do better in the future.
It will.
Thank you.
Thank you.